Now, looking at that photo again, it shows you also sold Ludwig drums.
Exactly. Well, and that was kind of the part of the deal is that, too, that the people would switch to Vox amplifiers. They'd, you know, because they were playing
they'd
mostly
bring the whole
Rogers.
Band
that we had a saying back in those days that had an advertisement, you know, don't be sharp, be smart. Buy Vox. Because we were kind of, that was a needle towards B sharp music on that. So a lot of times when the bands came in, is that the Ludwig drums were okay. However, they would keep the Rogers pedals, the drum pedal, that had a better action than the Ludwig pedal.
Well, and also going back to the name Big Daddy, well, when Paul turned 30, we changed his name to O.D. Wags, which was short for Old Daddy Wags. And we had a series of matchbooks and lighters.
Exactly.
And we had the lighters that said, Big Daddy says keep off the grass. The matchbook was O.D. Wags says quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, ahead.
Now, I'm looking at the same photo of you standing outside the music store next to the Vox amplifiers and a guitar, and to the right it says, the home of South 40, System, Grasshoppers, Castaways, Canoy, Clover, Youngsters, 19th Amendment, Bananas, Circus 13, Strange Brew, Litter, Apostles, Angry Souls, Upper Division, Joker's Wild, Bowery Boys, Perspectives, Pride and Joy, Choir Crystal, Electric Brigade, and Looking Glass. That's quite a few bands.
And there's a list over there, that green one, underneath, that I was up north. This is when I saw, what's his name, at Midway. Up north, and there's some on here that I didn't have. And there, do you remember a group by the name of Zarathustra?
Sure. Zarathustra.
Yes. Yeah, Zarathustra.
No, Grant Gullickson.
Hold on. Zarathustra.
Yeah, that group. Yeah, they had Grant, and he's a doctor now that played the guitar.
Yep, and then Bob Coates.
Bob Coates, exactly. Okay, I didn't have them up. I was wondering what went on. Pepper Fog. With the Strength Boys.
Yep, I see them all the time.
And who was their keyboard guy?
Greg Imhoffer.
Still is.
Yep.
Are they still a group?
Yeah, they get together, yeah.
Cool.
They play reunion jobs now and then.
Greg, I ran into a flyer of his on my way up north. It was in Hardee's at Mora that he's done quite well for him, I think.
He just released a CD, and then he produced a CD for Dale Strength. Greg produced a CD, which is fabulous. It's got some really, really catchy, neat country tunes on it.
And actually, I think, did the Dell Counts, did we get them on Vox?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought. I don't have the Dell Counts there.
Yep.
I didn't.
Well, in my band, Chesterfield Gathering, wasn't on there because their name was too long to get on one of those wood plaques.
Well, and speaking of wood plaques, the wood plaques were made by one of my high school alum's dad, Mr. Hornerbrook.
Yes.
Next door in the shop that was next door to the store.
Is he's dead by now.
He passed away sometime.
Well, and then I can break his anonymity
because
son's 68. He was real happy to see me get into AA. Believe it or not, he had been sober for a number of years running that shop. And he said, I always figured there was something a little strange about you. But there was a Bradford's. There was a Bradford club.
Downtown.
Greg Maland was in the Bradford's after the Castaways.
Really? Okay. Of course, we have Gypsy, but whatever. So there's a number of them that aren't on there.
Yeah, you mentioned the Dell Counts and...
They're not on there.
They're listed here in an ad. It says Big Daddy Wag announces the Vox Stackable Sovereigns. Two bottoms plus top, list price $1,119. Compare this list price with other comparable amps with 8 12-inch speakers. The Dell Counts are playing Vox Beatles. There must be a sound reason. We invite you to check it out. So the Dell Counts did use Vox.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, plus Big Daddy wasn't afraid to put ads out. We advertised in a lot of the stuff.
Oh, who was the, you guys remember the WDGY had a DJ that locked himself in the...
That was Jim Osterhaus and played Revolution Number 9 over and over and over and over.
Oh, on the air?
Break the door down, yeah.
They had to break the door down
to get this him
out. This
was
an older
there.
One.
You mean
older
he guy. Wasn't well, that supposed
was,
to do that?
There was,
no.
It was Buddy Holly's song when the same thing happened.
I think so. During this and
trying to make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
So. Now, looking at this advertisement, there's also a Wagner Music listed in the White Bear Shopping Center.
Correct.
And on 13732 Nicollet South in Burnsville.
Right. Okay. So that the one in Burnsville ended up being Laban Music. Maybe these guys said it was Suburban for a second.
Yeah, it was Suburban for a short time, then it turned into Laban Music, which was Charlie, Paul's brother. It was his wife's first name.
Right.
But
and that's still Wagner going now in Savage under my nephew Pete.
Yep, and Pete was just maybe 8 years old when he started, maybe six years old when he started coming in the music store. And he just, he'd walk around and kind of look at everything that was in there, and then he'd try to play something, and he's a very good guitar player, and then now he has probably one of the nicest guitar collections in the country.
But you had no involvement with the store in Burnsville?
No. Yeah, we opened it up, but the White Bear one, that actually Jiggs Lee ran for, and that didn't last long, though. I think it was only 6 months or something like that. We tried it out there, and it just didn't go. So
what year was that?
That would have been 69.
Let me mention, too, that your nephew, Pete Wagner, with Laban's, has been extraordinarily supportive of some of the nonprofit United States military nonprofits that I support and provided equipment, very high quality equipment that, the demand that are in, it's in demand for the best of the best nowadays. He's been extremely supportive, and it's been really helpful. So he's still out there doing good.
Oh, yeah. Well, he and his daughter, Rachel, I believe it is, isn't it? Rachel is kind of coming under his wing. And my cat, the one that, if my niece, Carla, she always did the bookkeeping. I don't know. Hopefully she's still there. Kevin.
I'm looking at the photo of the Vox AC30 amp, and it has the brown diamond grill cloth on the front. And I'm looking at the photo of you standing outside Wagner Music on Penn Avenue North. It looks like they kept the same design, except it was black. Is that the
correct
only change they made
in
that grill cloth?
I guess so. There's a Vox amplifier out again that I noticed. I was telling Denny when I watch RFD TV. Reruns of Hee Haw and Marty Stewart and the boys, and they always had the ad for Nashville, what is it, Grand Ole Opry or whatever, and every once in a while I'll see a flash that there's a new Vox amp out there, and it appears to me when I get a quick glimpse of it is that it's got a little bit larger diamond in it or whatever that
is. We went to a little bit of an extreme in the Castaways because Denny Krasl actually removed the front drum head on his bass drum and covered the front of the bass drum with Vox grill cloth.
That's right.
So it was this uniform.
That's right.
I actually have a picture of it somewhere in here.
That's right.
Did you ever have any celebrities stop in your store?
Not actually in the store. You know, spent time with, I never was very good at that. I was okay around the local guys. I liked them, but I spent some time with Eric Burton and the Animals up in Canada flew up some equipment for him. Paul Revere and the Raiders, they played a concert, I think, was it Hamlin or St. Thomas or someplace? St. Thomas, maybe.
St. Thomas, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. The Monkees. You know, what I noticed about those was really strange, especially when the Monkees played. We all know that they weren't good musicians. You know, that in the recordings, they had other people playing for them.
Except for Michael Naismith.
Yeah, right. Michael could play. But the crowd is screaming. They had these girls screaming so loud. You know, they could have been doing anything up there, and you still didn't hear the music. So that always made me kind of wonder. But
we did get to be involved with a lot of the big acts that came into town doing sound with them at the Labor Temple.
Yes.
Like the first Grateful Dead concert, I worked that one with them. Fleetwood Mac, I worked probably like three of those. Jethro Tull, before anybody knew who Jethro Tull was. Jeff Beck, when Rod Stewart and Jeff Beck were together. Sweetwater, you know, and I mean, there were, it was all at the Labor Temple just one night a week, you know, and this was like kind of in the infancy of those big bands. You didn't, nobody knew that they were going to be as big as some of them became.
Yes.
Ozzy, did you hang out at the Labor Temple?
Well, actually, I saw Jeff Beck at the Labor Temple. But that was much, I was much younger then, so I was trying to, what year was that, that he did those?
That was like 69.
Because I opened up for the Grateful Dead at the Labor Temple, and the band that I was with, Blackwood Apology, had members from the old Gestures band, from the old Accents, and the old Mystics band. We did a very long, complete rendition of the two-sided Mercury Records album that we had recorded, which was a rock opera. And the audience loved it, and it was a big psychedelic trip for them for about an hour and 45 minutes, and then it was time for the Grateful Dead, and they hadn't even showed up yet. And when they did show up, they weren't really prepared to bring the scale of the equipment they had upstairs. And I remember Dr. Owsley, who was their sound man, Dr. Owsley brought 100 100-watt mono Macintosh amplifiers upstairs, and then they had that full cone driver system with no horns or anything on it, and it took them hours to get it set up. As a matter of fact, they had their snake reels were, you know, essentially electric utility company wind, you know, these giant wooden rolls, and these guys were swearing and cussing, and they were very upset rolling all this stuff, and it was... It's kind of weird because I remember it being really hot in there, and according to the information I have here, I have a picture of the Grateful Dead in there from a Connie's Insider magazine from that show, standing around with a bunch of the other guys, and they were talking about a February date, but that's not what I remember. But that was quite an adventure because it was way outside the scale of the rooms that they were used to playing.
They had that wall of sound where the biggest amp that they had was probably like an 8-inch speaker, and there was like tons of them stacked on each other across the whole stage.
Of course, then the obligatory trays of Cokes coming around backstage, and everybody's really thirsty, so everybody drank them. And
so let me ask, were they regular Cokes, Diet Cokes, or altered Coke?
They were very altered Dr. Owsley Cokes.
There was 200 of them.
There was no Diet Coke back then.
Yeah, right. It was Tab. Wasn't the Tab came out?
Yeah, no Diet Coke then. Okay. Yeah. I hear they traveled with an entourage as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they had quite a large group of people there.
And animals?
I don't remember any animals. Do you remember any
animals? I don't remember the animals.
Oh,
but,
we heard somebody, they had a goat or something.
Wouldn't surprise me.
They brought everything with them.
What year was it that we went and worked for Vic?
For who?
Vic. That
a still roving picture with all the Vox amps.
Well, I went to work for it?
Well, you went there then you brought me in.
Oh, really? You worked there too? Yeah. I did not know that. Well, that was after the store closed.
Okay.
I think that was, I was out selling reupholstery for him.
I was picking the stuff up and bringing it back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know.
I remember.
So, Paul, when the 60s moved into the later 60s, like 69, the music scene was changing, and a lot of bands were playing kind of psychedelic, progressive, hard rock, The Litter, and Joker's Wild. How did you relate to that new sound of the psychedelic era?
Oh, I kind of like that. Well, especially I remember Pierre Winan from Circus 13 came back from California. Frenchie. Yeah. And he had brought Underground Record, and he put it on. I thought, wow, this is something. Keep your motors running. Get on the highway. It was Steppenwolf before they had really been. And Steppenwolf was one of my favorites. What was that? There was a couple other groups that played kind of different, you know, not the rhythm and blues type stuff.
Steppenwolf played a number of times live in town. Did you go see him?
No.
Always new music coming into the store. I remember one time you brought in the James Gang.
Oh yeah,
before we hadn't heard them.
But I kind of liked most stuff. The only thing related with the type of music business is that back in the early 70s, James Cain, wasn't he the bass player for The Litter?
Oh, yeah.
He started he was involved in a PA shop.
Freedom Electronics.
Was that it?
That's the catalog with your stuff in it.
really?
Mm-hmm.
Did I build speakers for him?
Mm-hmm.
For their PA?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was for down on Lake Street?
Yep,
bass bins.
Yep.
Oh, Charlie.
Charlie Sinkler.
Is that what his name?
Yeah.
See, I remember Charlie.
So is this where, when you were kind of phasing from LaVon into?
No. I was totally out of the business.
Yeah, after the
once we closed, that was it. I was out of the business.
Now I understand you put on some promo events out at the prison with live bands. And I believe the Voxmobile was there. Could you tell us a little bit about what went on at those shows at the prison?
Well, from what I recollect, we call them like the Battle of the Bands, where you'd have like, four or five bands, something like that. That time with the Voxmobile, I think that was actually on a Sunday, on an afternoon, that we had a contest. I remember that we had a bunch of unknown bands from out state coming in and playing, and they kind of voted in this. I think it was a group from Rochester that ended up, I don't even remember what we gave them, but that was promoting the Voxmobile. And we brought in the Voxmobile, actually was involved in the Robbinsdale Parade, whatever their big parade was in.
Whiz-bang days.
Yeah, I remember the driver from... that hauled this monstrosity around, that he and I rode in the parade in that thing. And
did it drive? Was it actually?
Absolutely!
Oh yeah, it was a George Ford. Barris creation.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was a actual Ford or
Ford. The same Ford motor in it.
George Barris made like the Munsters mobiles and stuff.
Right.
Like
and
it was fully functional audio wise. It had the Winston Churchill PA complete system on it, and they could play music louder than. Shit.
So a band could play on the Voxmobile?
Yeah, or they had the keyboard. On, well, if you see the picture there, I'll show the keyboard on the back. Where they
kind of looked like a formula car.
Like a dragster.
Yeah.
Yeah, more. Yeah, like,
people could play a guitar through an amplifier?
I think
or pre-programmed.
It, yeah.
You just had that picture someplace.
Yeah, put it away.
It was a colored one.
Yeah, it's in there. It's a postcard, actually.
Well, there you go. Yeah, there we go. That's exactly it.